Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Yet this hour, President Biden is expected to sign a bill making June 19th, or Juneteenth, a federal holiday. And this week, the Commonwealth will mark our first Juneteenth statewide. Juneteenth symbolically marks the official end of slavery in the country and marks the date in 1865 that enslaved people in Texas were notified of the Emancipation Proclamation, which had been signed more than 2 years earlier. For the rest of the show, we want to talk about what it means to celebrate or observe Juneteenth thoughtfully. How do we make sure we're celebrating in ways that honor June 19th's legacy? Pull up a chair. Join this conversation. 1-800-423-8255. Are you observing Juneteenth this year? Is it your first time? Is it one of many? Has it been celebrated for generations in your family? What are you going to do to observe the day? And what do you think it means to observe Juneteenth thoughtfully? Please share your traditions, ask your questions, share your thoughts. The number again, 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK to join the conversation. Guests with us now, first, Kelly Carter Jackson. She's an associate professor of Africana Studies at Wellesley College. Also, Reverend Mariama White-Hammond, pastor at the New Roots AME Church in Dorchester. Professor Carter Jackson, Reverend Mariama, welcome back to both of you.
Hi.
It's great to have you both. I don't think the two of you have ever been on the show together before.
Not that I know.
Yeah, no, this is great. Hi.
Hello.
It's going to be a great conversation. So Professor Carter Jackson, actually, would the two of you mind, do you mind for purposes of this conversation if I call you Kelly and Mariama?
Oh, please call me Kelly.
Great. All right, so Kelly, I'm going to start with you. In your words, what is Juneteenth?
Oh man, Juneteenth is what a lot of Black people refer to as the Black 4th of July. It represents the final enslaved people receiving their freedom in Texas. Over 250,000 enslaved people were freed on June 19th in Texas. The 13th Amendment doesn't pass until December of 1865, but once the war is over, the final slaves that get note that the war is over happens on this day.
So, Mariama, sort of a big sweeping question and follow-up to what Kelly just told us. Why is it important that we are officially celebrating it this year here in the Commonwealth?
Well, I think part of this is an acknowledgement that the traditional party line that we tell ourselves about our nation is far more complex. Mm-hmm. And just sort of celebrating July 4th and saying, you know, we should all just fit into that, misses the fact that the history of this country is complex for a lot of us, and that July 4th wasn't real freedom for a lot of us. That while some people were celebrating their freedom, some of us were, our ancestors were working the fields. Mm-hmm. And so for me, Juneteenth is the moment when we really were all free. Now, of course, there's a lot more complexity about the work that it takes for something to be, to move from being theory to reality. I mean, part of the excitement about Juneteenth, somebody asked, why don't we just celebrate the Emancipation Proclamation? And in my church, we also do that. We have what's called Watch Night. But the reality is that when President Lincoln said we were free, it wasn't actually really true for everybody. Mm-hmm. So Juneteenth is a reminder that it's not just the moments at which the people at the top are free, but not until everybody is free are we really free.
We are talking with Reverend Mariama White-Hammond and Professor Kelly Carter Jackson about thoughtful observation and celebration of Juneteenth. Call with your plans for celebrating Juneteenth this year, with your questions about how to do that thoughtfully, or thoughts about what comes next. 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. So, Kelly, for those who are marking Juneteenth maybe for their first time this year, what mm-hmm. what do you advise keeping in mind? What's important to keep in mind beyond the ways that we celebrate together in community, mm-hmm. you know, food and togetherness?
You know, it's funny that we're talking about this. I just penned an op-ed about this very idea of how we sort of reconcile history and memory. And I think oftentimes memory is, you know, the superficial surface or symbolic aspects of a holiday. But for something like Juneteenth, you really cannot separate the history out from the symbolism. And what I want people to keep in mind is that this history is really clouded in death. It's clouded in delay, a delay that came 2 years later for enslaved people. And I want them to be able to hold these ideas of delay and delight in both hands. I think we can do that. I think we can celebrate and have barbecues or parades, but I think we can also pause to understand, you know, the gravity of this history and the history of our country and how for so long we have been a country, actually longer than a country of slaves than we have been a country of free people. And that's what I want people to really take a moment and sit with.
So then, Mariama, how do we sit together in community, in celebration, but also observation and respect, regard for the things that Kelly just laid out?
Yeah, well, I hope my plans on Saturday might maybe kind of try to capture that. We, our church is coming together. We're doing a ritual at the MFA. And for us, we're balancing the reality of Juneteenth with the fact that it's Pride Month and the fact that for us in our liturgical calendar, it's Pentecost. And so really looking at this idea of liberation, that we believe is part of the symbols of the Holy Spirit, the liberation for Black people that still is not fully realized. And we also talk about liberation for our LGBT brothers and sisters, because as part of a church that is not yet affirming of LGBT folks, there is still unfinished business. So I think for us, again, as like Kelly was saying, you've got to hold that complexity to the both the beauty and the brokenness. And that's true for each of us as individuals, but it's also true of our society. There's so many things to celebrate and there are things to critique. And so, you know, I'll start off with that ritual and holding that ritual. And then I've got some barbecues and some time in the garden, and then I'm going to see some kids play basketball and then going to a protest. So the day is full of lots of expressions. And for me, they all are actually a part of how we lean into the celebration. The evening ends with the celebration of an elder who's retiring after years of social justice work. So I think for me, it is about leaning into all of the aspects of life, the joy, the pain, the progress, the work to still be done. I think Juneteenth, for me, holds all of those complexities, maybe more than any other holiday I can think of.
Mm-hmm. Kelly, I want to pick up with you, but we do have some calls coming in. So let's pick up our first call real quick. 1-800-423-8255 is the number. Keith is on the line from Lynn. Keith, go ahead.
Hello, how are you? Thank you, Tishiana. Thank you, Mariama, if I'm saying your name correctly. And thank you, Kelly, for your knowledge and wisdom. Appreciate that. I just want to say the way we honor these people and what we have done is teaching each other knowledge, wisdom, and the understanding of what happened. Conversations when we do have these barbecues, conversations at the tables. And they also just can't just happen yearly. You know what I mean? It has to be done every day or hopefully, you know, weekly, if anything. You know what I mean? And this is just a start. A lot of people are going to be fresh and new about it. So my suggestion, even with my own family, is I won't overwhelm anyone. You know, I'm a historian buff myself. And sometimes I think when we find out new knowledge and things, sometimes our excitement or our enthusiasm tends to overwhelm people and they don't really get the gist of what we're trying to say because we are so enthused. So I think everyone should just take it in stride in how they want to celebrate it, really get the understanding of what it is and how wrong it was that it was 2 years later after the emancipation and understanding the, if I want to say, those necessary evils of those men to even suppress that, you know, and to finally to have that come to light.
Thank you for that call, Keith. And so Kelly, I'm going to come back to you there because there's a lot in what Keith said, but there is there's this idea of unfinished business, which is a phrase, Mariama, you used a minute ago. And I want to come to the duality of our unfinished business today. And also the idea that after the Emancipation Proclamation was signed, as you noted, Kelly, 2.5 years later, and there are people who still don't know about the emancipation. So how do we hold marking a moment and marking unfinished business all at the same time?
It's difficult because I don't want to downplay the joy of this moment. You know, enslaved people were rejoicing and rightly so. And this is a moment I think that we can celebrate. But the reality, the historical reality is that also that within months, certain years of the end of the Civil War, racial violence is exploding all over the country. We have racial massacres that are taking place. Union troops have to be kept in place in order to keep out the Klan and white supremacists that are trying to target Black communities, that are trying to educate themselves and build their churches and build their schools and build their communities. And so in a lot of ways, the freedom of Black people, especially the success of Black people, has made them a target. And I think we see this, you know, so clearly in like Tulsa. We just celebrated the 100th anniversary of Tulsa. And one of the things that was so remarkable about this place was that its success made it a target of the Klan. And so one of the things
I'm sorry,
I find
just Black Wall Street in Tulsa and the Tulsa
sorry,
race
Black
massacre.
Wall Street,
just clarify.
Black Wall Street in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And I think that, you know, one of the things that I'm constantly trying to reckon with is that as Black people strive for excellence, as we strive to improve ourselves, to assert our humanity, that is constantly going to be met with a racial backlash. And we are still experiencing that racial backlash today. We've seen it with the election of Barack Obama. You see it with the election of even Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. We see this every single time Black people excel. There is a backlash that is often violent and forceful. And we're still living in that moment.
So a couple of things. First, I just want to make us aware, I referenced at the beginning of this conversation that we are awaiting President Biden to sign this bill. That signing ceremony has begun. We'll kind of keep an eye on it in the background. Vice President Harris has been speaking. So we'll come back and forth to that because it's interesting that that's unfolding as we're having this conversation. I want to go back to the phones here. We've got Jack on the line, the number 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Jack's on the line in Waltham. Jack, go ahead.
Yes, thank you. I just wanted to say hi to your guest, Mariama. I was your father's classmate. We just celebrated our 50th reunion. Hello?
We're here, Jack.
Can you hear
go
me?
Ahead.
Yeah.
Yes,
and,
we can.
You
go ahead.
Yeah, I used to teach African-American history at Emerson, and I think what is important is for us to take our minds back to that date in 1865. And I would surmise that the majority of slaves knew they were free, but the slave masters had not acknowledged it. They had tried to keep it from us. And I would think of it as a time when actually the Emancipation Proclamation began to be enforced and acknowledged in Texas. The majority of slaves knew they were free, but their masters wouldn't let them go.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for that, Jack. I appreciate that. And Mariama, I think I heard you actually kind of make us. Yeah, go.
I was just going to say, adding to that, I learned this from a friend from New Jersey. Lest we think that Texas was the only state, New Jersey also did not abolish slavery till 1865. And actually, I believe they rejected the 13th Amendment when it came through. So it wasn't like Texas was the only holdout state and everybody else was ready to let go of slavery.
Yeah, that's true. So, it wasn't even until 2013 that I think Mississippi actually ratified the 13th Amendment in their state. So there's a lot of history there.
So I want to pivot, and we've been talking about a lot of depth. I also want to pivot to the celebration part. And at one point earlier, Mariama, you talked about the barbecue you were going to go to. Kelly, you laughed about that. We do, when we celebrate, we break bread together. We gather as family and community. Where are the ways, what are the ways to mark also some joy in this moment? How to do that thoughtfully? And what are some of the traditions that have been handed down across generations to do that? Kelly, maybe you can start us off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'm really excited for Juneteenth this year. My children have been too small to sort of understand it. And I think this is really the first year in which I can do some fun things with them and talk to them in ways that they'll understand. They're 7 and 4. And so we're going to do all of the traditional things. We're going to eat red food. We're going to have watermelon and strawberries, and we're going to make red velvet cake. And, you know, we're going to talk about the symbolism of the day and the history of the day. And, you know, I got them coloring books to color in the Juneteenth flag. Like, I really want this to be something for them that is fun and enjoyable, and where they too have a history of this. They acknowledge this as part of their history, but they also see the wonderful ways that we can celebrate what it means to be Black in this country, and how even though racism is terrible, Blackness is not. And so today and all throughout the year, we really get a chance to celebrate it. But today just feels like a collective social celebration in which so many people can gather for the same purpose to acknowledge this moment.
And before I go back to Mariama, remind us, red is an important color in Juneteenth for a bunch of reasons. It's a layered color, really. Talk about that a little bit. Kelly, sorry.
Oh, sorry. I thought you were talking to Mariama.
No,
the red is very symbolic. So the red represents several things. It represents the blood that was shed during slavery. It represents perseverance and resilience. And in some ways, it just acknowledges that this path, this past and path that we're on, is a hard one. But the color red is meant to represent like boldness, and all of the food that is consumed traditionally on this day has some symbolism towards red, the color red. So like I said, watermelon or strawberries or red velvet cake. I just got a red great recipe for beet cornbread. It's cornbread that you make with beets so that it's red. I've been watching High on the Hog and getting inspired on Netflix. There's a new series that spends a whole episode talking about the recipes of Juneteenth. And red plays a very important color.
I'm going to grab one more call and then I'll... Oh, go ahead. No, go ahead, Reverend Mariama.
I was just going to say, one of my reasons for loving Juneteenth is that red is also my favorite color. So, Kelly, you have to give me that recipe.
Yeah, I will.
Is it one that can be public, Kelly? Can we put it on our website if you send it to
us? I think so. I just got it off Google, so yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. So actually, Mariama, with our limited time, I'm actually going to turn back to you because I want to pick up this other thread. You talked, as you were talking about what your day is going to look like on Saturday, you talked about the fact that your congregation is also addressing some of the unfinished business around the LGBTQ community. And, you know, one of the things, as Pride has gone mainstream over the last several years, one of the criticisms has been that in mainstreaming it, it's been sanitized, it's been co-opted corporately. Mm-hmm. As we have President Biden basically at the podium right now making a speech before he makes Juneteenth a national holiday, any concern about the mainstreaming of a holiday and the ways that sometimes sanitizes the deep meaning of it?
Well, yes. And I think part of the reason that happened with Pride is because we've forgotten the story of Stonewall, a uprising, a action of police brutality, predominantly against Black trans women. And because that story has been missing from the conversation, it has just turned into a celebration. And I think the importance of Juneteenth is making sure that we tell our children, that we all tell the story of why Juneteenth exists. It's okay to have a good time. I am looking forward to doing some line dancing. I am looking forward to the stepping and strolling from the Black Greek groups and the music and the family. But what is important is that we do not forget that our joy is so beautiful because it comes despite the level of suffering we've had. And I think a lot about what the Bible often says to the children of Israel. It says, you know, to remember your story, to write it on your door, to make sure that you teach your children. And so what's important about Juneteenth, there's nothing wrong with having a good time. It's a part of that day, but we have to make sure the story stays alive.
Hmm. Kelly, 10 seconds, one last thought from you.
I can't echo that enough. I think I agree with all that was just said. We have to be able to hold the symbolic and the substantive in the same hand, and history and memory in the same hand, and acknowledge that this is a painful past, but it's also a beautiful one if we choose to work to make it that way.
All right. And just to kind of close us out, moments ago, President Biden called Juneteenth, quote, a day of profound weight and profound power, a day in which we remember the moral stain and the terrible toll that slavery took on the country and continues to take, end quote. What a conversation. Kelly Carter Jackson, Associate Professor of Africana Studies at Wellesley College, and Reverend Mariama White Hammond, pastor at the New Roots AME Church in Dorchester. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.